This is Audible.
Audible Inc. presents Marked by Power, Book 1 of the Marked series. Written by C.C. Rose and G. Bailey. Narrated by Billy Fulford Brown, Joshua Akehurst, Ewan Goddard, Jack Hawkins, Joe Jameson, and Leon Williams. Prologue. The dim lighting in the room does nothing to hide the predatory look on his face as he stalks around me, moving in a circle. I keep trying to move with him, to keep my eyes on him and my back away, but he's just too quick. He shoots flames to my left, and I jump to my right, narrowly avoiding the hit. I try to counter with air, calling on my mark. I aim low, hoping to strike him off balance. He blocks my attack with a simple swipe of his hand. A cool jet of water flows from his right hand. He doesn't aim it at me, but at the floor. I stare at him in confusion, when suddenly the water begins to cool and freeze over. I struggle not to slide across it. I lift my left hand and command fire, using fire's heat to melt the ice. The steam creates a wall between us. I try to use it as a screen to attack, but he simply uses his air ability to clear his vision again. I back up a few steps to keep out of reach, but he pounces, crossing the space between us. Within seconds, I'm pinned down onto the blue mat by his weight. I struggle to get loose, completely forgetting to use my magic in order to assist me. "Miss Crow," he whispers in my ear softly, his deep voice sending shivers right through me.
"Kenzie,"
I mumble.
"What?"
he asks.
"Please, call me Kenzie,"
I whisper.
"Miss Kenzie Crow,"
he utters softly, his cool breath against my neck making me shiver.
"Yes,"
I whisper, looking up and catching the heated look in his green eyes.
"You would be dead 6 times over if I was really trying."
Chapter 1. Kenzie. Today is the first day of the rest of my life, my initiation into the Marked Academy. I glance around at all the other 17-year-olds dressed in traditional white as we walk across the rocks. Most look excited, a few nervous, and one even looks a little bored. But I'm calm. I'll be happy whether I get 1 power, 11, or any of the numbers in between. I feel a hand slip in mine. And as I look around to see Kelly, I smile at her.
"Aren't you nervous?"
Kelly asks. "Nope. It doesn't matter what happens. I've just got to last 3 years in this school, and then I'm back to the plan. It's hard to be nervous when you're not invested," I answer softly, aware of the quiet around us and not wanting my voice to echo in the darkness of night.
"I am,"
she whispers.
"What if I only get 1? My dads will be so disappointed. Mum will be happy with whatever, but those two, they just have so many expectations," she adds.
I frown. I know her dads have always been pushing Kelly to be a high achiever, but seeing her worry like this makes me glad that my own fathers only want me to be happy. The three of them have always shown me support in whatever I want to do, and my mum is the same.
"It'll be fine, Kels, I promise,"
I reply, squeezing her hand tightly. She shoots me a grateful smile, and then her eyes widen as we reach the cave entrance. The entrance is considerably large for a cave, and is mostly filled with water, but for a narrow, uneven ledge that runs along one side. One by one, we file onto the ledge in alphabetical order, walking slowly and carefully across it. Kelly lets go of my hand reluctantly and slips in behind me, walking so close I can feel her breath on my neck. I'm glad her surname follows mine, Crow and Kerwood. I'd hate to think of her doing this part without me. We follow along the trail until I see the people in front of me seemingly vanish into the wall. I trail my fingers along, waiting for the crack I know is meant to be there. The guy directly in front of me steps to the side and vanishes. I follow his steps and feel my fingers leave the wall, finding the gap. I slip through after him and walk in darkness for a moment, until I see where the narrow gap opens up. Torches line the walls, the flames flickering and casting shadows everywhere. I carry on following behind the guy in front, and I hear Kelly following closely behind. The path opens into a large, cavernous space. A serene pool of water lies between us and a grand golden double door. The doors are covered in the 12 markings of the marked, 6 on each. There are 3 people cloaked in black standing in front of the door. One stands to the side by a gong, holding a long striker. Another stands slightly to the other side, gesturing to us all to file into the room. And one stands in front, a long gold chain hanging around their neck, the master of today's ceremony. We all file into rows in front of the water. Once side by side again, I feel Kelly's hand slip back into mine. We kneel as instructed and wait for the rest to file in. Once we are all waiting, kneeling patiently, the master of the ceremony steps forward.
Welcome, new students, to the Marked Academy. One by one, your names will be called, and you shall enter the water. The water here is all the way from Arizadia, and will activate your dormant powers. You are to submerge to receive your marks at the sound of the gong. Once blessed by the water, you shall declare how many markings you received before passing through the doors. However, if you are not blessed by the water, you must leave immediately. Do you all understand?
A mixture of affirmative answers and head nods roll across the room as we indicate our understanding. I feel Kelly's hand squeeze mine tighter, the worry of not being blessed clearly getting to her.
We shall begin, the ceremony master says.
I can feel the tension in the room as everyone stares forward, waiting for the blessings to begin.
Jacob Addison,
the robed figure to the left calls, their deep voice carrying across the otherwise silent room. The guy kneeling on the front row furthest to the left stands and makes his way to the pool of water. His hunched shoulders are the only sign of his concern as he slowly wades through the water till he reaches the center and stops, nervously looking around. I count my blessings that I'm not first. The pressure of going before everyone else must be overwhelming. The robed figure to the right bangs the striker against the gong, and Jacob submerges himself in the water, going completely under. We all watch and wait with bated breath for him to rise. After what feels like forever, he emerges, spluttering and his hands patting against several parts of his body. He must be counting his marks.
How many markings?
The deep voice calls. 7, Jacob replies. He looks around and catches the looks of who I assume to be friends, giving them a thumbs up, before wading the rest of the way across the water. He walks up and past the robed figures before slowly pushing the grand-looking door open and stepping through, the door closing softly behind him.
Joshua Allen,
the robed figure calls, wasting no time in continuing. The next guy stands and makes his way into the water. The gong sounds. He submerges, and then emerges again.
How many markings?
The robed man asks.
4,
Joshua answers, his voice wavering over the simple word. Without looking back, he crosses through the water and walks up past the robed figures and leaves through the golden door as the guy before him did.
How many more people before us?
Kelly whispers to me softly.
22,
I whisper back. Just be glad our surnames don't begin with Zed. I shoot a smile at her, which she returns nervously. 247 of us needing to be blessed. I'm glad I'm not the robed guys right now. Turning my head, I cast my eyes across to the guy sitting at the back of the far right. Nope. It's him I am glad not to be. His knees will be aching like hell by the time he gets called. I turn my attention back to the ceremony, watching each person stand, as they are called and step into the water. They all receive marks, the lowest 3 and the highest earning 10. The one with 10 gets some impressed looks from other students, who are kneeling and waiting. As I watch Liam Cartwright walk through the large doors on the other side of the water, I take a deep breath.
Mackenzie Crow.
Despite expecting it, I freeze when my name is called. I wasn't feeling nervous before, but the water suddenly looks so much more daunting. With so many still in here watching, I feel the pressure mount. What if I only get one? It doesn't matter so much to me if I don't have powers, but others may think less of me for it, and I have to put up with these people for the next 3 years. What if I stand in the water and have nothing, nada? If I'm not marked, what would happen then? It's not as if that is common, but it's been known to happen. I wouldn't be the first. Not marked, not human, but unmarked. The unmarked are born of a marked line, but not deemed worthy of power. The ultimate failure in the eyes of my people. I gulp as I stand, straightening my shoulders as I walk the short distance to the water. The water is completely still, not a ripple in sight. I dip my toe in first, feeling the cold shoot straight into me, chilling me to my bones. I cast a glance back at Kelly. She shoots me an encouraging smile and mouths something at me, but I can't make out what. I turn back, looking straight at the door ahead, and step into the water. I wade in until about waist deep and in the center of the pool. I look up above, the gap in the ceiling of the cave letting the moonlight in. The glow of the full moon is strangely comforting. The gong sounds, and I submerge a second after, letting the icy cold water cover me, closing my eyes as my head goes under. I feel the chill of the water make me shiver, and I start to wonder how I will know I have been blessed or not, when I feel a burn on my left ankle. That's one. Another on my right hip. That's two. Fuck my ribs! I clutch my ribs with my hands as a burn starts there as well. And then, suddenly, pain strikes across my body in several places all at once. The water now feels hot, not cold. I pull myself upright, so I'm standing, shaking slightly. I look down at myself and try to make a count of all the marks, using pain as an indicator of the ones below clothing. Both ankles, both thighs, both hip bones, my ribs, two on my back, both wrists, and I feel a burn on the back of my neck. Wait, how many is that? I do a mental count. 12. That's got to be wrong. I count again. A throat clears, drawing my attention to the hooded figures, knowing I need to announce my markings. I try to count again, coming up with the same answer. 12. How is that possible?
Miss Crow?
12. I stutter quietly.
I'm sorry?
12. I repeat more clearly. I have 12 marks. Whispers start around the room. It doesn't take long for the volume to rise, and for it to become shouting. 12 marks. It's impossible. I can hear people yelling things like, liar, deceit, and check her, as I swallow and slowly make my way across the rest of the pool. I stand before the robed elders, waiting for them to allow me to pass and enter the academy. One of the figures steps toward me and holds out their hands, palm up, requesting my own. I place my hands in theirs, and they turn my hands over and inspect the two markings on my wrists. The symbol of flames on one, and water on the other. They release them and twirl their fingers, asking me to turn around. I do as they say, facing the other students who are waiting for their own initiation to begin. I feel fingers lightly brush my thick, dark hair out of the way, and then trace over the marking on my neck. I shiver from the gentleness of the touch.
I don't need to see any more,
the man's voice says quietly.
This is the 12th marking on your neck. I've never seen anyone wear this mark. I believe what you say is true.
I release a breath I didn't realize I'd been holding. At least he isn't going to make me strip in front of most of my classmates on the first day. Now, that would have been embarrassing.
Continue into the school, Miss Crow. We will speak with you once the ceremony is over.
He says it softly, so the words don't carry. I nod my head and slip past him, eager to get away from all the eyes watching me. I reach the large door and push. It opens far more easily than I'd expected. I walk through and allow the door to close behind me, cutting off the stairs. Just as the door is about to close, I hear them call Kelly's name. Chapter 2. Kenzie. 12 marks. I have 12 marks, and the 12 powers that go with them. How did this happen? I've never heard of anyone having 12 marks before. The highest number of marks I've heard about was a guy who got 11 last year. He was a hero around my community for months. Everyone was talking about him. I try not to think of anything more and let my mind circle around the facts as I walk up the dozens of high steps to another pair of big doors. I push open the doors to a large hallway, and I shut them behind me. Shivering from the cold, as my wet dress sticks to me, my long hair drips water onto the floor. Every drop echoes as it hits the ground in the otherwise silent hallway. I move quietly down the corridor, hating how my shoes sound squishy against the shiny, pristine floor. Here, a woman says, making me jump as she steps out of the shadows at the side of the hallway. I can't see what she looks like as she has a black cloak on, and the large hood is covering her face. She hands me a folded black cloak, much like the one she is wearing, and I happily take it from her as I'm freezing. I pull the cloak around my shoulders and pull the hood up, still cold but not shivering as badly now that I'm under the thick material. The woman steps back, mixing into the shadows again. Probably hiding to freak the new students out for fun. I know I would. The corridor is surprisingly modern, nothing like I would expect an ancient manor on an island to look like. Modern chandeliers hang from the ceiling above me, casting a soft glow. The white walls are pristine and dark wood floors look newly polished. The walls are covered in a mixture of ancient artifacts. There is everything from a giant sword to what I'm guessing is a fish hook. There is also a strange-looking, massive claw in a glass box. What could that be from? All along the wall are weapons, paintings, and various other things. I'd have to come take a better look at the other objects sometime. I've seen photos of this island before. I know it's located just off the coast of Scotland, and that it looks like a wreck from the outside. I'm sure that's some kind of ruse to keep humans out, as well as having the protection wards spelled into the island by the first of the marked to settle here. I keep walking towards the open doors at the end of the corridor. There are massive, dark wood stairs on either side going up to the next level, and when I look up, the stairs wind all the way up to the top of the manor. At the top is a glass dome where I can see the stormy, grey skies outside. There must be at least 5 levels from what I can see. I'm just about to go through the large doors when I stop as I hear doors open behind me. I turn to see Kelly walking in, and she shakes her head at me as our eyes meet. Even from this distance, I can see her eyes are filled with tears. Her dress is soaking wet, clinging to her small frame, and wet blonde hair is plastered against the sides of her face.
"Please move into the hall,"
a man says from behind me in a sharp voice. Turning, I see a guy not much older than me holding the door open. "But can't I just wait for my friend?" I ask as I turn to look at him. He shakes his head.
"Move on,"
the man says, his tone leaving no room for argument. I glance once more at my friend before turning and walking into the hall. The room is massive and filled with students all dressed in black robes sitting down on chairs located on either side of the room. The hall has dozens of little balls of glass lights hanging from the ceiling. They are all a mixture of yellows and reds. I know they aren't any kind of marked magic, but they have a certain magical effect on the room. The floor is the same dark wood as the corridor, and the walls are gold and white panels. The 12 marks are drawn on each section of the walls that are gold, 6 on each side like the doors. My eyes glance at the 12th mark, seeing it painted in black against the gold. The 12th mark looks like a sphere, with an arrow going through it. The arrow splits the sphere in half. Unless my new power is cutting things in half, the mark is no help in figuring out what the power is. No wonder nobody has figured it out before. A throat clears, and I pick up my pace, realizing how slowly I'm moving due to gaping at the room around me. There is a gold-marked path in the middle of the students for the new entrance to walk down. I can see the other new students at the front of the hall as I get closer. Behind them are 3 large glass windows that overlook the rough sea. I can see the crashing waves in the water from here. I walk faster down the middle of the students, not glancing at anyone, but I feel their stares on me. The room is so quiet that I can hear my every footstep in my wet shoes. I bite my tongue softly, feeling heat flush to my cheeks. I try and force myself not to think about the fact there are so many students here, and soon, every single one of them will know I have all 12 marks. At the end of the path is a small stage where all the new students are sitting on seats. I lift my cloak and dress as I walk up the few steps, and I take the next empty seat in the line. When I sit down, my eyes go straight to Kelly, who has just walked in. I watch her like everyone else as she wipes her eyes and quickly walks to the stage. She takes the seat next to me, and I slide my hand into hers.
"How many marks?"
I ask softly. She shakes her head, and I know that's not a good sign. I knew her tears could only be for one reason. "It doesn't matter," I tell her, and her blue eyes look up at me.
"Says you, who got 12 marks?"
She replies sarcastically, foregoing the whisper. Her voice echoes around the quiet room. I cringe from the volume, but I know she didn't mean it. She's just worried about her dad's reaction to her own marks. I realize that the other students must have heard as the whispers start instantly. I feel myself getting warm from all the eyes on me. Great. Well, everyone knows now. I lift my eyes to the crowd of students, and everyone is staring with shocked and disbelieving faces.
"Shit, I'm sorry, Kenzie. I got 2 marks. Just 2,"
Kelly says quietly, pulling my attention from the crowd. I squeeze her hand. I go to tell her that it will be okay when I see 3 robed figures walking towards us. They are all different heights, and their faces are hidden under their different colored cloaks, but I know who they are from the symbols on their clothing, the 3 headmasters of the school. I remember my older brother telling me about them, about how strict they all are, about how everyone in the school is afraid of their power, including the other teachers. The 3 of them stop in front of us on the stage, and the one with the green cloak speaks, his voice loud and deep.
"We welcome our new marked to our academy,"
the man in the green says, and takes a pause as everyone claps.
"Every year, we welcome our new marked the new generation to carry on our gifts. We will talk to every student privately and assign them their student guides for the first year as the others continue to come in.
The red-cloaked man adds, I watch as he pulls out a tablet and switches it on.
Mackenzie Crow, please come with me,
the man in the green cloak says, turning to face me, but I still can't see his face under the hood.
Mackenzie's guide will be Eastern Black,
the man in the red cloak says, as he reads from a list from his large tablet. I'm too in shock from hearing that familiar name to question why I'm going first, instead of the others who were sitting waiting. My eyes find a very familiar pair in the first two rows of students, as East stands up and pulls his hood down. Hazel eyes and soft-looking brown hair with blonde highlights. His hair is messy and long, but pulled away from his face. He doesn't need to do much to his hair, and it still looks ridiculously gorgeous, as always. His lips turn up into a sexy smile that shows off the dimples I remember so fondly. My brother's best friend, Easton Black, was always around when we were younger. He is also the boy I've had a crush on since I was 13, and he has never noticed me at all. He looks every bit as sexy as I remember.
Sexy East is your guide,
Kelly whispers, and I give her a look that says shut up, and she smiles for a second. I haven't seen him in 2 years, not since he came here. Easton walks over to me at the same time I stand up. Neither of us speaks as we follow the man in the green cloak out of the room through a door near the stage. We come into another corridor with four wooden doors. The man opens the first door to the left and walks in.
Please wait outside, Mr. Black,
the man says, and Easton nods, moving to stand near the wall, but his eyes stay on mine.
Good luck, Kenzie,
Easton says, his first words to me. Easton's voice is made for seduction. Growing up, he always had a way with girls because of his good looks and deep voice. His voice sends shivers through me that I can't blame on being cold. I walk into the small room and pull the door shut behind me. The room has a big wooden desk and two seats on each side. There are two small bookcases full of books and some green curtains on the small window in the room. I take my seat as the cloaked man pulls his hood down and moves to his chair behind the desk. The man is older than I expected from his voice, with short grey hair and a full grey beard. I would guess his age at around 50.
I'm Mr. Lockhart, one of the three head teachers at the academy. Mr. Daniels told me of your marks that you received today. I believe he saw the 12th,
he says. Yes, I say, and he nods at me.
May I see it?
He asks, already standing up, leaving me with not much choice but to show him the mark as he walks around the desk. Sure, I reply, lifting my hair. Mr. Lockhart moves behind my chair, and the room seems to stay still for a long time as he stares at my mark. I wait quietly until he moves back to his seat and leans back in shock.
I am lost for words, Miss Crow. I am sure you know that no marked has been gifted with the 12th mark in years. The only reason we know it exists is because it is in the Book of Marks,
he says. I remember one of my dad's telling me about the Book of Marks, a large book bound in leather and printed on vellum. A book with just 12 thick pages, each with a different mark on it. The book is thousands of years old, and it's believed that it came from Arizadia, like the water in the cave under the academy. Does the book say what the mark does? What my power is? I ask him, but I think I know the answer.
Unfortunately, the book does not tell us what the powers of the marks are. It only shows us the design, he answers, picking up his glasses from the table.
I don't say a word as he opens a book and pulls out a blank timetable. He quickly pencils in classes across the week.
These are your 11 classes. I have split them over the course of the week for you, but I'm afraid you will not get much time off other than Sunday.
11 classes, I say, my voice a mixture of anger and disbelief. I can't do that many. I'm suddenly wishing I only got one mark. At least I'd only have to take one class.
Yes, you will need to take all 11. We will split them into two classes a day in the week and just one on Saturday.
He says, writing down a copy of this unfair plan of his on some paper in front of him.
I'm afraid you will not get to pick any elective classes either, due to already having to take all 11 of the mark classes.
That's, I start to say, but he cuts me off.
Necessary for you to learn how to control your powers. Having so many mark powers will be a challenge for you, and you do not want to lose control,
he tells me. I think on the stories I've heard about powerful marked that lost control. They always ended up dead. The bedtime stories for marked children were never pretty, but neither were the stories in the Book of Human Fairy Tales Aunt Laura gave me. The only difference is, our bedtime stories were true.
How long are each of the classes?
I ask, dreading the answer.
3.5 hours,
he answers. I groan, sliding down in my seat. You have got to be kidding me. Chapter 3. Kenzie. I let my towel drop and gaze at my reflection in the full-length mirror, more specifically at the markings that now cover my body. I've always wondered where my markings would appear, how many I'd have, and what they'd look like on my skin. I can't help but think of them being more than just pretty ink on my skin. The meaning behind all of the symbols is clear. From the fire and water symbols on my wrists, to the earth and air symbols on my ankles. On my thighs on one side is pain, and on the other is healing. My hip bones, one is technomancy, the other transmutation. On my ribs is the symbol for protection, right under my heart on the left side. I turn around and look over my shoulder, looking at the symbols on my back. Divination near the top, spirit on the base of my spine. Mark number 12 is on my neck. The one nobody knows about. I'm not even sure what to call it. I sigh and pick my towel up from the floor, wrapping it around myself. A knock hits the door, startling me, so I almost drop my towel again.
Kenzie?
I hear Kelly's soft-spoken voice calling.
Yeah? Are you gonna take all day? I wanted a shower, and breakfast starts in 10 minutes.
I cast a guilty look between the shower and the door. She'd have luck getting any more hot water out of there.
Can you have one later? I'm almost done, but I want to go get food now. I'm starving.
I call back through the door. I can see her eyes rolling in my mind as she sighs loudly and dramatically.
Fine, Kenzie, but if I get sat next to a hottie and he thinks I'm a weird non-showering hobo, I'm blaming you.
Fair, I call back. I quickly pull on some clothes and towel dry my wet hair, foregoing makeup. I make my way back out into the room where Kelly is just brushing her own hair, already dressed and ready to go. She's looking stylishly dressed, and her makeup is perfectly done. Non-showering hobo my ass.
You only said you wanted a shower to hurry me up, didn't you?
I accuse.
Maybe. But it worked, right?
She replies with a smirk, clearly much cheerier today.
What classes do you have today?
I ask, slipping my shoes on.
Just the one. I haven't had the chance to sign up for electives yet, and I only have 2 required classes, she says, her voice losing its previously cheery tone.
Hey, it's okay. At least you can pick some fun electives. I've got 11 classes of boring, I answer.
Yeah, I guess,
she says, her eyes not meeting mine. Well, you can just pick whatever electives the hot guys sign up for. Is that not a great idea? Suss out your boyfriend options early. Ugh, I don't think I'll find a boyfriend here, Kenzie. Who would want me? A week too powered marked. I roll my eyes. Pity parties were not going to help her out of this funk. Kelly, you're beautiful, kind, smart, and have boobs for days, I say, gesturing to her sizable chest area. I'm sure you will have no troubles finding as many boyfriends as you'd like. She smiles deviously.
What if I wanted 10?
She asks, the grin growing wider. Then you get yourself 10. Although I don't know what you'd do with 10. What would they do? Just stand around you in a giant circle? I wink at her and then pull a face. Her eyes widen and her mouth drops open as she picks up on my undertone.
Kenzie?
She spits out.
What? What do you think marked women are doing with their multiple husbands behind closed doors? Playing Scrabble?
I chuckle at her mortified expression. Then her expression turns calculating. A smile takes over her face.
I have 2 dads. You had 4. Whose mum had a circle going?
She laughs as my own face mirrors her previous mortified look. Not what I want to picture. I shudder.
Okay, okay. That's enough talk about man circles for now. Yes. Does that mean breakfast?
She asks, clearly as excited by the prospect of food as I am.
Let's pray there is bacon,
I mumble back. We make our way out of our room, locking it behind us. I'm so glad I have Kelly as my roommate. It would have sucked to have been stuck with some bitch for 3 years. Instead, I get my best friend. We race down the steps of the dorm building and out into the chilly morning air. I instantly regret foregoing a jacket. Hell, even one of the stupid ceremony robes would be great right now. It's fucking freezing.
We make our way through the courtyard and towards the main building, where the dining hall is located. Breakfast is served between 7:30 a.m. to 9:30 a.m. daily, and we were going to be some of the first there at this rate. But fuck it. I'm starving. Neither of us could bring ourselves to eat last night, so it only makes sense we're both eager to make our way to breakfast this morning. We walk through the already open front doors and turn left towards the dining hall. A quick walk down a corridor, and we're there. There are tables set to one side covered in hot plates with food on them, and trays, plates, and cutlery at the start. Despite being here bright and early, there is already a line. We walk across the room and join the orderly queue. I'm about to say something when I notice a petite blonde girl sashay across the room and directly to the front of the queue. At just a look from the girl, the guy in the front just backs away and lets her in without a word.
Oh no, I mutter, giving Kelly the look.
Guess we spotted the bitchy girl nice and early,
Kelly mutters.
Hey, let's not judge too quickly. Maybe she just has an aversion to queuing. I say we suss her out first,
I reply. Hearing a deep, throaty chuckle behind me, I turn around to spot Easton standing there, his messy hair looking like he just woke up perfect.
Hey, East,
I say softly, trying not to drool. Men shouldn't be that attractive. Kelly's eyes widen, and she turns around too. Every girl crushed on Easton back in our small town, Kelly included. Although, I'd wager my crush was far more intense and embarrassing. The fact he was always in my house didn't help. She is, he says simply, breaking my train of thought.
Who is what?
I ask, confused. The bitchy girl. That girl has claws, he answers.
I knew it,
Kelly mutters.
Really? What did she do to you?
I ask. She asked me out, he answers, smirking.
And that makes her a bitch.
no. But when I said no, she decided to tell the girl I used to be interested in that I was sleeping with her. Stella is just like that. If you're not serving her needs, your only use to her is for a fuck, or she will make your life hell. He laughs, but it's hollow. I frown, both mad at Stella for her actions, and super happy that it seems like Easton doesn't currently have a girlfriend. What can I say? I'm petty like that. We reach the front of the queue, and I waste no time piling my plate with food. Fuck, I'm starving. I catch a bemused look on Easton's face as I turn to find a table.
What?
I ask him. You're gonna eat all of that? He questions.
Maybe seconds too, you know, if I feel like it.
You never used to eat that much as a kid, he says.
Like you ever notice me, I mumble. Should we sit over there?
Kelly interrupts, gesturing to the furthest table, the one out of the way of everyone else. Typical Kelly.
No, we're gonna sit there,
I answer, nodding my head in the direction of the table at the center of the room.
What?
Kelly snaps in shock.
Come on, Kels,
I say in my most cheery voice. I will not let her hide herself away. We take seats around the table, and I'm pleasantly surprised when Easton joins us.
What classes have you girls got today?
He asks around a mouthful of toast. Divination and fire, I answer.
Just divination for me, Kelly answers.
His eyes roll at the mention of divination.
I still don't know why that's counted as a power. It's not like anyone ever sees anything useful. There are a few people who get good at seeing the past, but so few actually have a good skill at seeing the future. Even when they do, it's never clear or predictable. I don't get why they teach it as a class, he says.
I see a frown take over Kelly's face.
Fuck's sake, did he have to put his foot in it?
It's a power, the same as any other. It's a hard one to master is all. I'm sure Kells will kill it, though. You've always been good at guessing what's going to happen when we watch films and stuff. I shoot her a smile. I bet that was your powers shining through early.
Yeah, whatever, she mutters, huffing. So long as I can actually see something. I'm more interested in my healing class later this week, to be honest, she adds.
See, now, healing, that's one of the best powers. It may not be cool or flashy, but it's certainly one of the most useful. Healing people is good.
I roll my eyes at East's mansplaining. Like we don't already know that.
It's a good thing you're pretty, East, I tease, flicking some of my orange juice at him.
Huh?
Nothing, I chime in a cheery tone.
He narrows his eyes and opens his mouth to say something, when two guys suddenly sit on either side of him. I blink my eyes, thinking I must be seeing double, when it hits me. They're twins. Hot twins at that. They both have short blonde hair, which is styled similarly, and big, muscular bodies. The twin on the right has a clean-shaven jaw, and the other has a slight 5 o'clock shadow.
And how do you know Easton here?
One of them asks, slamming his tray down onto the table.
Yeah, Easton doesn't often bring pretty girls to join us for meals,
the other adds, placing his own tray on the table.
She's Ryan's sister, Easton answers.
Really?
They both ask at once.
She looks nothing like him,
the one on the left says.
A good thing at that she doesn't.
The other one on the right adds.
Are you calling my big brother ugly?
I snap and glare at them both. They both look taken aback and start to apologize. I lose my stern face and smile.
Good. He is an ugly fucker, I tease.
They're both stunned into silence for a moment, before both relaxing and laughing. East smiles at me.
You have to lower your humor to the basics around these two, Kenzie. Sarcasm is above their level of understanding.
Shut up, Lefty snaps.
We're much funnier than you, pretty boy, the one on the right adds. East just twirls his hand in a circle by his head. Cuckoo. His sentiments on the matter are clear. I'm Mackenzie, that's Kelly, I say, properly introducing us.
I'm Locke,
Lefty introduces himself, the one with the 5 o'clock shadow.
And I'm Logan,
Righty adds.
And, if you didn't already guess,
Lefty begins.
We're twins,
Righty finishes. Nice to meet you both. I'm guessing you're in the year above then, I ask, hedging a guess.
Yep, second year's now,
Locke says.
East is in his final year, though,
Logan adds. I knew that. He's a year younger than my brother, I reply and eat some more of my food. I look at the twins, trying to work out an easier way to tell them apart. Locke's hair is slightly longer, and a little messier than his twins.
Did you hear about that chick with 12 marks?
Locke asks, and I freeze with a piece of bacon in my mouth.
Yeah, I mean, that's a shitload of powers, but no one thinks she will last a week without killing herself accidentally,
Logan says.
Shut it, Logan,
East snaps, whacking his arm, and I slide my chair out as I stand up.
Kenzie,
East starts, and I wave a hand. It was me that got all 12, and I have a class to go to, I say, and both the twins lean back in their chairs in shock. I can't stop my eyes tracing over their blue shirts and the muscles that I can see on their arms. Let's go. The library is next door to your class by the looks of it, and I have to pick my electives, Kelly says, standing up with me.
Wait, I'm your guide, and I meant to show you to your classes for the first week,
East says. I don't need your help, I reply, and turn around before he can say anything. We both walk out, and I look back to see East staring at me. His face is a mixture of concern and something else. Like he is seeing me for the first time.
Chapter 4. Easton.
Ryan's sister has 12 marks. The fucker must be jealous with his 7,
Locke says, and I narrow my eyes at him.
Roy asked me to watch her for him. I can't do that if you fucking scare her away, man, I say, and he shrugs with a grin.
I look back at the doors where Kenzie is leaving, and she looks back, her bright blue eyes staring straight through me. I run my eyes down her sexy as fuck body. Has Kenzie always been this hot? I can't remember her looking like this. I remember her 2 years ago, with her short black hair and baggy clothes. This Kenzie has a thin waist that shapes up to an impressive chest, shown off in her tight clothes. When Kenzie turns, her long black hair moves around her, and I know I have an issue. I'm not looking at her like I should be, like she is a friend. No, I can't stop looking at her ass just before the door shuts behind her. When I agreed to watch over my best friend's little sister, I remembered the teenage girl that followed us around. Not this Kenzie. She is something else entirely. Fuck, I mutter, pushing my plate away and leaning back in my seat. I place my hands on the back of my neck and look up at the ceiling.
You're thinking about how sexy of an ass Kenzie has too,
Logan says, and I have to resist the urge to punch him as I look at him. These fuckers are annoying, but I like them. We fight well together, and when I had a lot of shit with my parents going on, they helped. She is Ryan's sister, I say, forcing myself to remember us growing up together and not how her ass looked in those jeans. Kenzie was always around when I hung out with Rye.
And he isn't here, he says, and knocks my shoulder.
My phone starts ringing, stopping me from replying to the cheeky fucker. He damn well knows Ryan would kick all our asses if we touched Kenzie. I pull my phone out and accept the unknown number's call.
Hey, shitface, how's my sister?
Ryan says as a hello. I rub my hand over my face. It's like he can finally use his divination power or some shit. Kenzie got 12 marks, but otherwise is fine, I say. And there is silence on the other end of the phone for a long time.
Fucking hell! Kenny got 12! Rye shouts down the phone eventually. I think we are as fucking shocked as he is. The twins didn't know because they bailed on the ceremony yesterday, but I'm certain most of the school knows by now. Yeah, I know, man, I say. You still keeping your promise? He asks. Yeah, man, I'll keep an eye on Kenzie. I'm her student guide anyway, I say, ignoring the fact she walked off without me already. She used to follow me around back home, and now she comes here and just walks away, shaking her perfect ass as she goes. Yeah, he wants a guide into her fucking knickers, Locke says, and laughs with Logan. I glare at them both as Rye tells me about his new job. So glad he didn't overhear that. Such fuckers. So the job is good? I ask. Yeah, man. It's what I was meant to be doing, you know? He says. Rye got the perfect job straight out of the academy. He works for our council by finding rogue marked and bringing them to justice. There is a group who regularly use their powers against humans, breaking one of the most important laws we have. Caught any yet? I ask, and he laughs. Nah, but we have a big mission next week. I can't tell you more, man, but it's only a year until you join me, he says. I'm a 7 like Rye, and my main power is transfiguration, so I would be good for hunting. Rye is good at air. I've got to go, I say, when I hear the bell sound. We have 5 minutes until the second bell goes, marking the start of class. I owe you, and tell Kenz to answer her damn phone, he says, and I laugh. She is always losing that thing, or at least she used to, I reply. We both say, later, before I put my phone away and stand up. You off to water class? Locke asks, and I nod. Coming, I ask Logan. The twins may look alike, but they are opposite in their powers. Locke is good with water and healing. Logan is good with fire and pain. They both have 7 marks, but they are strong. The fuckers are amazing when they team up, their powers complementing each other. Yes, let's go, Logan says, and stands up, stretching. I glance once more at my phone, wondering if it's easier to just stay away from Kenzie. Only the thought of her being alone to deal with 12 powers doesn't sit well with me. I will find her later and patch things up. She needs her student guide anyway. And I have a promise to keep.
Chapter 5. Kenzie.
Shit. I should have let East show us where to go,
I say, casting my eyes around the corridor, not a clue where we are meant to be.
Oh, I have that Academy app they told us to download. There must be a map,
Kelly replies, stopping in the corridor to pull her phone from her coat pocket. Shit. I don't even know where I put mine last night. I didn't even know there was an app to begin with. I lean over her shoulder and watch her switch on the Academy app and find the map they have on there. One of the best things about this Academy is the technomancy students. My brother always said the Wi-Fi is perfect here, and that the whole place is wired up.
Ah, it's down here,
she says as the app finds where we are, and an icon hovers above the classroom I need and the library next door to it. People push past us, in a rush to get to classes like we are, and I know we are going to be late when I hear a second bell ring. We searched the entire second floor before realizing that it's the third floor we needed. This place is a maze. See you later, I mumble as we get to my room and Kelly waves at me.
Good luck,
she replies cheerily, and I take a deep breath before opening the door to my classroom. I walk in, and the room goes silent. All of the students are here by the looks of it, and the teacher gives me a look of disgust.
Miss Crow, I assume? She asks and crosses her arms.
Holy smokes, this teacher is intimidating. She has long, shiny red hair, bright green eyes, and the body of a supermodel. I want to say it looks fake, but it's likely the bitch was just born that way.
Yes, sorry I'm late. I got lost,
I answer. She tuts as she looks me over.
Having 12 marks does not mean you will be treated specially in this academy. I do not care for your excuses. Now take a seat, Miss Crow, she says.
Snickers of laughter and whispering follow her words from the other students. I hold in the urge to call her a bitch.
Sorry again,
I say, not bothering to hold in my sarcastic tone. I don't wait for a reply and walk down the middle aisle of the row of desks. I find an empty desk 2 rows in and take a seat.
Welcome, new students, to your first fire class. I'm Miss Tinder, she says, introducing herself.
Most guys would be happy if they swiped left on the Tinder app and found her.
In this class, we will study fire and how to control it. Fire can be many things, but it is known for being uncontrollable, she explains,
and I watch as she holds her hands out flat in front of her, and 2 balls of orange flames appear.
Except that is the very job of the fire marked. We must control it, otherwise fire can destroy, she adds, closing her hands slowly.
I watch as the balls of fire get smaller as she does, and then they disappear altogether. I've seen one of my dads do the same thing. He is strong with his fire, despite having only 4 marks.
We first must find out how strong you are with your fire. Some may not be very good, and others will find fire to be their strongest power, she explains. So, class, I want all of you to step outside, and one by one, we will test your powers. Once I have an idea of your personal strength, I can assign you partners that are near your level, she says, and everyone stands up.
I move outside with the rest, and Miss Tinder comes outside with us. She calls the first person in, a guy standing close to the door. I watch 5 students go in and out before she comes out and says my name. I follow her back into the classroom and move to stand in front of her.
Call your fire, she says, not giving any other explanation.
I think back to how my one dad said he called his marks. He said you just imagine the mark in your mind. I hold both my hands out and imagine the fire mark the best I can. The mark looks like a flame, with black wavy lines in the middle. I open my eyes to see a large ball of blue fire in my hands. The ball is getting bigger and bigger. I do the first thing I can think of and drop it. I expected it to disappear, but it doesn't. Fucking hell, it only gets bigger as I jump back.
Stop,
Miss Tinder says, but it's too late. The fireball rolls around the room, getting bigger, and I try to call it back to no avail.
I know, maybe I can use air to put it out.
I call my air mark the same way I did the fire, picturing the mark in my head and calling on it. The next thing I'm aware of is the feeling of myself flying across the room and slamming into the wall. I hear Miss Tinder shouting, and as I look up, the whole room is on fire. What was once the ball of fire seems to have split into 5 towers of flames. They swirl like tornadoes and are setting everything on fire as they move. One of the fire tornadoes swirls its way towards me, and I hold my hands up, begging my air mark to stop this. The tornado just spreads in a long wall of fire, which still keeps moving closer to me. I cough on the smoke, looking around for any way out, but I can't see one. There are no windows in here, and the door is on the other side of the room. I cough some more, and wipe my eyes as they start watering from the smoke.
Water. I can use water.
I go to call on my mark when a guy walks through the flames. Just fucking walks through them. He's tall, with short black hair, and a serious expression as he looks down at me. The guy looks about my age, and he is gorgeous. With his built body and dark, almost black eyes, he's captivating. He spreads his arms wide and water shoots out of his hands in streams. The streams shoot around the room like a wave, putting out all the fire.